Right, 8.07, FM Talk 106.5, and Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you along on this Wednesday. I know for a lot of people, just because they had the holiday, I feel like today is Monday, but today is Wednesday.
The holiday of hump day.
That's right. And reminder here, I talked about it earlier in the show. If you saw more traffic than normal this morning, if you leave for work early, it's amateur morning is what this is. I commute in the 4 o'clock hour, and there was a threefold increase in pedestrian vehicular traffic. Now, what that's about the pedestrian traffic where the people getting started with their New Year's resolution to get more exercise, work out more in 2019. Don't worry, this too soon shall pass. In about 10 days, those people will give up. It'll be back to the hardcore people I'm used to seeing that are out exercising. And then vehicular traffic I saw at the 4 o'clock hour, those are all the people that, you know, listened to some podcast or something about getting started on the right foot, great habits, probably hosted by a Navy SEAL or something like that. And yep. They're going to do it, get to work early. That will last for 7 to 10 days, and they'll quit that too, and it'll just be all of us that have to be at work at 4 o'clock in the morning that will do that.
I just don't understand why you don't see the improv portion of this. If you've been to like a comedy improv, that's where regular people can hop on stage, mm-hmm. you know, try their chops at comedy, right?
Yes.
And it's like these people are trying their chops at getting going on a New Year's resolution called Frogger.
they think they're serious at this point. It's amateur morning is what it is. It's for sure. The way New Year's Eve is amateur night for people having one too many champagnes, this is amateur morning. All right, time to welcome, so being a Wednesday, our buddy Jeff Poor with Lanyap and Breitbart and Yellowhammer News, and lots to talk about this morning, Jeff, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thanks for having me on.
And we got some big news we're going to break here on the show in just a little bit about Jeff. But before that, let's get to some big news out of Washington. And yes, the network news cycle this morning has told us the big story is Mitt Romney comes to town, or back to town, Senate-elect Mitt Romney coming in and firing off shots against President Trump.
Yeah, and, you know, he really didn't waste any time. We kind of thought this was going to happen, didn't we? Him and Trump were going to butt heads, but Mitt Romney didn't waste any time just letting it go, and I think that's, you know, and that's kind of telling that he's going to be the guy that's going to take Jeff Flake's spot as being the chief Republican Trump criticizer.
You know, now it may be from his soul, but if you're looking at something just, if I'm going to be, maybe there's more room for a Mitt Romney. Maybe he can get more attention as a Republican opponent of President Trump than he could somebody else who's just rank and file Trump supporter. Maybe he sees that. Maybe he's just trying to be a big fish in a little pond.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of that. I mean, it just seems odd to me that you're in a situation where you really need all this cooperation and all these things, and why would you have this distraction right out immediately, right? Why does it seem like this was necessary? I do find the timing a little odd. Like I said, we knew it was going to happen, but he just kind of laying down a marker to establish himself as that guy, and that he's going to lead the... he's going to lead the charge on the pseudo-Trump resistance movement within the GOP.
The president already responded to Romney.
Oh, he did. Okay, I was wondering.
Yeah, just over an hour ago, the president tweeted, @RealDonaldTrump. Here we go with Mitt Romney, but so fast. Question will be, is he a flake? I hope not. Would much prefer that Mitt focus on border security and so many other things where he can be helpful. I won big, and he didn't. He should be happy for all Republicans. Be a team player and win. That's the president's response to Romney's barbs from yesterday.
I imagine that's going to be the first of many.
Which I thought he might have gone dirtier than that.
Don't worry. This is just the first round. I think it'll get more interesting from here. Okay, so let's talk about this. So all that being said, the real story is we have a government shutdown, day 12 going on now, the partial shutdown. I don't think, you and I were talking about this, I guess, last week. I don't think it's gotten the traction normally it would because we've been on a holiday news cycle.
Not a new cycle, and it's this weird transition period where you've got a new Congress coming in, which is something we've never really been through. I think there's a lot of things at play, but it wasn't leading to new, or it didn't, you know, it's just not in the middle of our thought right now because, you know, there are some other things going on in the world in the holidays. So to me, the political consequences don't quite seem as severe as they might otherwise be.
Now, okay, So let's go to the next part of this. So the shutdown is based pretty much, even though it's a proxy for a bigger battle, it's shut down on funding for the border wall. President wanting $5 billion, Democrats saying $1.3 billion, never the twain shall meet. Maybe they will, but I have trouble here. You wrote in an email to us that President Trump has dug in on wall funding. I agree, as so the Democrats have. I don't see, and maybe something will surprise me, but I don't see the thing to negotiate over. I don't see the wiggle room. I mean, the Democrats have no motivation to make a deal here on this, I don't think, politically. And President Trump has said, listen, you know, even though he vacillated a little bit there for a few days, he went right back to saying $5 billion. So where is the room for the negotiation here?
I don't know. And my feeling is that, you know, Trump accepts anything other than $5 billion at this point is going to be perceived as a loss, as political opponents are going to make sure that we know it's a loss. So you've really backed him into a corner. What do the Democrats have? I, you know, the Democrats gave up a little ground. What do they actually lose? Are they going to lose, you know, who stands to lose the most by backing away from this deal, the Democrats or Trump? To me, it's Trump. Trump's got more on the line here. Democrats are just kind of, you know, we talk about the Democratic Party. Who gets the blame for that? Maybe Pelosi. But other than that, it's not as specific as it would be with Trump. So he's in this position where he's going to have to, you know, where anything less than what he's asking for is going to be seen as a loss. I think it's going to hit him the most more than it would hit the Democrats. So that's just my feeling on it. What that means in the negotiations, I don't know. To me, it seems like it means that Trump's going to be less willing to budge than perhaps he might need to be given the political circumstances.
With that being said, Jeff, you know, earlier, being 19 hours ago, because the president tweets quite a bit, so I have to say earlier, like, is a whole nother day, but it was only 19 hours ago that he asked about making a deal, saying border security and the wall thing and shutdown is not where Nancy Pelosi wanted to start her tenure as speaker. Let's make a deal. Just even saying those few words, let's make a deal, were you at all surprised that it went from being a staunch, we will not have this government go any further until we get this wall, to let's make a deal?
You know, the way I kind of feel about it is you just kind of feel in the fire a little bit, kind of keeping the conversation alive. It's been a strange holiday break for Trump because he's been tweeting from the White House and kind of just with these dark tones, right? Usually you expect something a little edgier, something a little, I don't know, like, almost like poking a finger in the eye of his opponents. This hasn't been the case with this, and I think if I'm a Trump supporter, I'm a little concerned that, you know, the tone and the way this has been, you know, being treated by the Trump administration. It just doesn't seem there's like a whole lot of room for optimism. So, yeah, I'm a little perplexed by Trump's tweets and the way he's handling this up to date. Like I said earlier, I don't know where he goes from here. He's really backed himself in a corner, and his opponents are letting him back himself in a corner.
Yeah, and that's where I'm coming from when I say, where's the room for negotiation? Because and there may be something that I don't know. There may be a lot of things I don't know about this negotiation, but I don't know. You're talking about who gets the blame for the shutdown. I think one of the poison fruits that has been borne by the fact that people are so divided in this country is there's not a lot of undecided people to sway. So Democrats, anything that the Democrats do to oppose President Trump, their supporters, rah, 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 you know, stop him at all cost. And then the Trump supporters, Republicans out there, are going to say, this is what needs to be done for the country. This is what the president said he was going to do. He's now doubled down on this. I don't see, you know, usually if there's some political expediency or the temperature is turned up politically on one side or another, they may capitulate. But I don't see, with the galvanization of where everybody is, I don't see where the deal is struck. I don't see the middle ground.
Well, here's a couple of questions. Like I said earlier, who has the most to lose in this situation?
I don't think either of them.
I don't know, though, because what happened last time the government shut down, somehow or another, Pelosi and Schumer took the brunt of the blame, and they were the ones that had to come and had to back off of their initial positions on DACA, right? So now that people are back engaged and following all of this, is there a possibility that the public kind of turns on the Democrats again? Just because you have somebody in the White House, and we tend to blame people in Congress. I don't know. It's going to be really tough for the Trump administration to position it that way, just given the way the media is. So, yeah, but I'm not sure that it's a given that, you know, that one side or another is not going to get the lion's share of the blame and be forced to make a deal.
We'll watch this. Can you hang on with us over the news break?
Absolutely.
All right, we're coming back. We've got some big news from Jeff's front as well. We'll lay on you. Plus, bring it back home here to Alabama. And, oh, yeah, we're counting down the days till session gets cranked up in two and a half, 3 months in Montgomery. Gas tax, only shadowed under the umbrella that is Lotto, is this gas tax. And Jeff says this thing is happening. New quadrennium. The assumption is they're going to raise gas taxes. The question is now, what do we get out of it? He has a great story at yellowhammernews.com. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more when we come back. 820 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this first back-to-work day of the new year for a lot of people. Unless you had to work yesterday, you're back. It's 2019.
I hope everyone remembers how work works. You know, you forget after so many days off.
You know what's going to happen? This is going to be a truism if you write checks or you're signing something or whatever. How many times over the next probably 30 to 45 days are you going to write whatever date and then 2018, and then you have to dart it and you have to try to change the 8 into a 9. That's what's coming at you in early 2019. Also, our buddy Jeff Poore from NYAP and Breitbart and Yellowhammer News. And now, not just in the world of print and on radio shows in the state, now bringing his voice daily to radio in Alabama. You want to tell folks about what you got up your sleeve?
Yeah, so expect some kind of more formal announcement later on, but going to be launching the show. I'm up here in Huntsville, Alabama, in the Huntsville market on WVNN. Some of your listeners might know Dale Jackson from the Grill Politics show that airs on your station on Saturday. I'm going to be up here with him, and it's going to be a 2 to 5 show. Kind of afternoon drive time, but a lot of what you hear in these segments, I think, is going to be played out on the air up here in Huntsville for a little while, until at least they fire me, right?
It is the world of radio, man. I'm excited about that, and I'm really excited about having you behind the mic and extended show segments up there in Huntsville once we hit March. Isn't it March? What is session starts early March, I think.
March, right. Yes, sir.
So it's going to be a lot to talk about here. All the cans that were kicked down the road, they're now arriving here at this session in Montgomery. And we'll talk about Lotto some other time. But let's talk about gas tax. Foregone conclusion, is that your take on this?
I think so. You know, this has already been adjudicated, I think, in this last election. And everybody, you know, all the people that won overwhelmingly, we're on record saying they think something needed to be done with the gas tax. And I know now that it's kind of in the middle of everybody's thinking right now. There's a lot of people that are opposed to it. But, guys, you had your chance to oppose this gas tax. I know that, like, just days before the election on your show, when I was guest hosting, we had Mac McCutcheon and Del Marsh, the two leaders of the both chambers of the legislature, both saying we're going to look at the gas tax next session. The record's pretty clear. So, whether or not, you know, there'll be people out there opposing this, but to me, new quadrennium with not a whole lot of political consequences, they're going to do something with the gas tax. The question is just what and how and you know, and all the other particulars.
Yeah, and I know you lined this up. What do we get for it? You have a new story up at Yellowhammer. Tell folks about the roadways that you picked.
Well, the idea was, let's at least get some ideas out there, because if you just fight the gas tax, and you're going to wind up on the losing end, I think. So the way this works is, what are we going to get out of it? Is this, we're just going to get a gas tax, the money's just going to get pumped back into the bloated bureaucracy of ALDOT, where we wind up with, you know, roads in strange parts of Alabama to the Mississippi state line where they just dead end. Or are we going to, like, start putting out some ideas? So I have a piece up at Yellowhammer, and the idea is to at least kind of mix it up and give a different flavor for the entire state of Alabama. I think the big ones for Mobile, obviously Baldwin County, I think on the eastern shore, there's a lot to be, you know, to be desired with the north-south flow of traffic. Having driven from Fairhope to Mobile many times, you know, most people in the state think it's just a hop, skip, and a jump, but You better put aside some time to get to Mobile if you're coming from that part of the Eastern Shore. The other one, I think, for your listeners in Mobile, that I had is this idea of a north-south, some kind of north-south expressway or four lane up and down kind of the western side of the state from the Shoals all the way into Mobile. There's obviously the Black Belt has had its economic struggles over the years. We're going to dump money into impoverished areas in Alabama. Why not try to build up the infrastructure there and give people a reason to go through there? Really manufacture the accessibility, that it would need to build in some of these counties where unemployment's, approaching the double digits.
Yeah, and I don't think you're talking about a road to nowhere because, if you build it, I think they will come. If you have let's just get down to the brass tacks. If you have a shorter way for people or a more direct way for people to get to Tuscaloosa, and then, that for obviously for students and for fans of the football games and all those things, but also they could go to Tuscaloosa and from there come into Birmingham that way instead of going so far east on 65 to come up to Birmingham.
Yeah, I consider that because when they built I-65, they followed the old Highway 31, which was kind of the old route. And I think when they built 31, the idea was to get Mobile, Montgomery, and Birmingham all on the same route. Well, to do so, you got to go a good bit out of the way to the east. If you built an interstate or a four-lane straight up, say, following Highway 43, and it goes up into toward Tuscaloosa, then you cut off potentially an hour on a distance between Mobile and Birmingham. I think those are the two major cities in Alabama, and just the way it's now, it's kind of a tough road, but this could really do some things to alleviate some of the traffic problems on 65. They're talking about, six-laning I-65 between Montgomery and Birmingham. That could take years, but you start thinking of some alternate routes and some different things you could do. You can really make the state better for, not just those parts of the state where those people there, but for the entire state where everybody lives and needs to get around back and forth.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. I mean, maybe bring that in there at Thomasville where 43, goes, and then all of a sudden you have 5 split off and 69 and all that, and then bring four-lane split road on up to Tuscaloosa and then Birmingham. All right, let's talk about this. So in this process, you're talking about the roads that projects that people need to look at, and that story's up on my Twitter feed now. People can check it out. But how's the money going to be apportioned? If we haven't raised gas tax since 92, they're going to raise it some number above, where it is now. I've heard a lot of different numbers thrown out there. But who gets what? Who collects? Is it apportioned as per what is collected in that area? Or is it then all go to Montgomery and Montgomery decides? How's that done?
Well, a lot of it's done that way. I think population has a lot to do with it right now. But, that's why when you drive through Birmingham, there's always road construction going on. How Mobile's missed out on that, it's not clear, but My friend Matt Simpson, who just got elected to the state legislature, has an idea that, where the gas taxes are collected, a portion of those gas taxes have to remain in that area. So, for example, if it's collected in, whatever, then you put the money back into that area into some kind of road projects, some kind of maintenance or whatever it might be. But that way, it becomes more of a use tax because if you think about it, the tax is collected right there on that spot, that's where people are using the road at that given time. So why not put the money back into that area? Because that's where the usage is taking place.
So I would say that makes complete sense, but then again, this is Montgomery, man.
that's going to be the tough fight. But like I said all along, I think that this gas tax thing is going to happen no matter what. But we're going to get caught up in whether we need a gas tax or not. That's not the fight. That fight's already been fought, and the gas tax folks have won, in my opinion. If you really focus on this, you need to look at what they're going to do with the money and not get snookered on it. And that's the idea of putting these ideas out there. Maybe start thinking about how this is going to be distributed and all these different things. That's going to be what the big fight's over, and that's where the focus on the bulk of the energy needs to be put into, I think.
Yeah, I'm excited about this, actually, because this gets back to the subjects, political subjects I like to talk about most, and they're not really even, you know, one character versus another character. It is the grind of building roads. If you look back in political discourse and talk radio, local talk radio, road building projects and how the money's apportioned probably accounts for 20% of talk radio over the decades. I love it.
Yeah, and that's, but that's, you know, it's a traditional fight. In this state, it's been really, like, I'll say in some moments in the state, it's been very corrupted, and I think that we need to, like, start thinking about how we avoid that trap this time.
All right, remind folks again, too, so it's coming up just a week, less than a week away, your show.
Yeah, so I think, theoretically, we're going to have a show on Monday. I'll be in from time to time up here in Huntsville, WVNN, but if you want to find out more about it, come to twitter.com/Jeff_4.
All right, and are you going to press me into service after all the work you've done with us? I guess I owe you coming on the show, although I don't know what I'll talk about. Maybe gas tax.
I think we've been pushing, what, almost 10 years now.
Yep.
This summer will be 10 years, so I think you owe me a few.
I do, for sure. Jeff, as always, I appreciate it. Congratulations on the new gig, man. We're fired up.
All right, man. Thanks for having me on again.
Always, always. Jeff Poor joining us. And that story, the 10 roadways that Jeff says, hey, these might be good projects. That story up at Twitter feed at FM Talk 1065.
And on Facebook, facebook.com/FM Talk 1065.
All right. I'd like to hear from you on that and a whole lot more when we come back. Our phone number, 343-0106.
On FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for starting your new year with us on Mobile Mornings. Right now, it's time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, good morning, Dalton. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you also. So, a new year for everyone out there, a new you. Why not get a new ride as we head into 2019? And from what I hear, GM has actually extended the end of New Year's sale through today.
Yeah, Dalton, golfers love a mulligan. They call it a breakfast ball. When you
right.
get one more chance, you know, and that's exactly what everybody out there listening has, is one last chance. And, Dalton, what I'm talking about is realistically the biggest rebate that we've had on GMCs and Buicks in the last 12 months, and there's one more day. And, Dalton, we also have an objective we're trying to hit. We have to sell three more GMCs, and we are slinging metal. And an example would be over $13,000 of savings off a brand new, not a demo, but a brand new Z71. And we've got the Yukons priced just like that, Acadias, Terrains, everything that we sell in Buick. And, man, I tell you, people, don't miss out. Today is the last day, Dalton, and people can go to our website, or better yet, come and see us at Dolphin Street east of I-65.
Yeah, you're not going to beat those deals. We appreciate it, Mitch. Have a good one.
Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year to you, too. That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him and the crew at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and check them out online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Right, 838 FM Talk 1065. Text line, phone line, 343-0106, 343-0106. Go to David first in Mobile, and the first call from David for 2019. Hey, David.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
Doing good, man. You have
good
a good New Year?
I did have a good New Year. I worked on New Year's.
That means you have a job. That's awesome.
Exactly. as I like to say, I work every day the hospital is open. So, but real quickly, I actually went over Jeff's list of road, suggested road projects with the new gas tax, and there's nothing really wrong with his list, but I think number one on that list should be completing the four-laning of the Bloody 98 project. And the reason I say that is because that's going to be the least expensive project to complete with that gas tax, because they are building it in a way that they can go back and forth, do it as a divided four-lane interstate style highway once they finish the money. They just don't have the money to completely do it right now.
Here's the problem. Okay, so here's how this stuff works, because then I would say I think the money should be used to four-lane highway 45, because that's a bigger deal for me. I know you're saying finish a project.
At least all the way to Citronelle.
Yes. Oh, no, the whole way to the Mississippi State Line.
Well, I agree with you there, but again, yeah, if they don't have the money or the political willpower to do it all the way to the Mississippi state line, at least it's a canal.
Yeah, well, you know, it's and I appreciate that. It's just this is what's going to happen, though. You and I right there, just that little interchange is what will happen in Montgomery. You know that. I mean, it's going to be, oh, yeah, well, I've got this project. We're jumping past, you know, how much money is going to be collected in this gas tax. But then the next problem is going to be how do you apportion it and who gets what? And that's political gravy right there, road projects, man.
I understand that, and like I said, that's why I said 98 should be on the top of the list, because it's the least expensive project of those that were listed that would be able to be completed easily. But if Matt Simpson's idea is successful in passing, where you apportion some of that gas tax to the area where it was generated, I think the people in Mobile County need to, the leaders in Mobile County need to reimagine and re-engineer that intersection at I-10 and 158 in the Saraland, because it's becoming almost bad as Airport Boulevard.
And you're right on that, David. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Gary in Mobile next. Hey, Gary. Happy New Year.
Hey, Sean. Happy New Year. Yeah, I was just wondering, listening to that conversation, if the taxes tend to stay in the area where they're collected as far as road projects, does that explain why there's no easy direct route from Mobile to Tuscaloosa? Because there's very little population.
Right, and I think that's what Jeff was... Yeah, well, that's what Jeff was getting at. He said, hey, man, you know, if we're going to spend some money, you know, statewide projects, here's an area that you do do some good for those local economies, but it's not... And then I jumped in and said, but it's not a road to nowhere because, you know, you go through those areas, but that's actually a needed route up the west side of the state. Think about that. Going to Birmingham, we all end up going the whole way through Montgomery and through the constant road construction in Montgomery and then back over to Birmingham versus taking a little more north to south route, you know, that you would up through Tuscaloosa and then getting on 20.
Right. Well, think about this. If you want to go somewhere on the western side of the state, you've got to leave the state to come back in it if you want a decent road.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Go to Mississippi.
To get to Tuscaloosa. Alabama. Yeah, to get to... I mean, that's how when we go to the games, Gary, we go up 45, which is, you know, of course, my pet project, but we go up 45. Once we hit Mississippi, 45 is four lane. Then we go up to, I guess it's Meridian, and go up through and get on 20 and come in that way to Tuscaloosa. It's all highway. We leave the state to go to Tuscaloosa.
That's the best way to go. I've done it 100 times. I mean, but the fact that you have to leave our state
right.
Get back in it is ridiculous.
Well said. Appreciate the call. And by the way, too, we've had a lot of discussions on this gas tax when it break down how much they're asking for, what they're going to at least proposing in session. That's one of the... You can go back and check our podcast out. We've talked about it over the years, but I had a podcast within the last month where Sonny Brassfield from the Alabama Association of County Commissions, I think that's the right name for the group he's president of, how they kind of break down the ideas on the gas tax. Speaking of podcasts, too, just looking at the new stats, came in from our web people.
Uh-huh.
You see that?
I have not opened up the new stats.
Big volume. I mean, we know on the individual podcast, y'all have been great about downloading, but you know how we get the SEO and the reports from our website?
Mm-hmm.
Look at the podcast right up at the top of the stack of what people are going to FMTalk1065.com for. Now, we do want you, while you're there, getting you a podcast, do your vote. We're in the waning days of the 2018 Alabama of the Year, down to four now. So stop by, vote in that, and then get your podcast.
Yeah, our semifinals are way more exciting than the college football playoff semifinals, because we've got four of the best in Alabama in 2018. You can vote on the Baldwin County Rabid Foxes, the High Steppin' Turkeys Clyde and Henrietta, Mobile City Council and Mayor Sandy Stimson Drama, or former Attorney General, former Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions. Those are our final four nominees.
I just voted, and so looking at the percentages, it looks nice.
So Clyde and Henrietta came up again?
But they're not leading.
Oh,
no, they're not. Yeah.
No, Jeff Sessions, 32%.
He was a massive story in 2018.
Mm-hmm. So definitely. I love the fact that when you vote, you see real-time results.
That's
right. You
don't
have to wait, you know, like until the evening for like this. The
we have our judges tabulating the votes. They tabulate right there on the spot. FMTalk1065.com. You could also stream the station. Like I said, podcast, weekday schedules, like Mike Gallagher, brand new show comes on here in just about 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Find out more about Mike Gallagher on the website. I want to check out weekend schedules. All that's on our website.
And I know you've got a new show to announce later this week that'll be starting next week.
Yes,
but you mentioned podcasts. It's easier than ever to subscribe to the podcast because we're available on so many different platforms. If you're an iTunes iTunes user. Just go to iTunes Podcasts and search FM Talk 106.5. Same with Stitcher. Also, TuneIn. You can stream us live on there, but you can get the podcast there as well. Just many, many places where you can listen to Mobile Mornings, Midday Mobile, and the rest of the programming right here on FM Talk.
And yeah, for our friends who are visual, I just tweeted out a picture because sometimes you need to see things to understand it. Just go to the website, and you can also see those options as well. But I did want to backtrack to the talk about gas. The president 16 hours ago tweeted that gas prices are low and expected to go down this year. This would be good. So it's good to see how we're not just talking local, we're talking from a national standpoint right. as to what we're seeing. And I say that because so many families are trying to probably make their way back, you know, home from the Christmas break, and they're wondering, you know, how much money do you need to set aside when it comes to fueling up your tank? And that impacts a family vacation.
It does. The gas tax, if I'm correct on this, is a fixed number of cents per gallon. So it is not because people have asked, hey, gas prices come down, won't the revenues come down? No, it is a fixed amount on top of whatever that gas price is. Mm-hmm. It is actually paid for at the wholesaler, I think, and then that's what the price they pay when they buy the, you know, when you see the big truck show up at your fill-in station and pump the big tank full, the price has already been paid and passed on there. This texter gives you, I love these questions, because I can say, I don't know. Is the state really using the current gas tax as it's supposed to be used? I don't know that. I mean, I can tell you I think so, but I mean, I'm not going to vouch for them. I'll say this, that in what Sonny Brassfield said in that interview with us, what he said was that the new money coming in for the gas tax would be for asphalt and dirt. And in other words, it wouldn't pay for the raised revenue in the gas tax, whatever that number would be specifically for making the roads. It wouldn't pay for any new buildings or people or anything. It'd be in product, right? It'd be in asphalt, it'd be in dirt, it'd be in contracts there to get that done. So I can't tell you, unnamed texter, what exactly, if they're perfect stewards so far, the money that they're getting, but I know that at least in the fine print of what they're talking about doing going forward, that money would be specific to things you're driving on.
How dirty do you think this fight's going to get? Is it going to be like the BP oil spill money where
yes.
South Alabama fighting against the rest of the state?
You will have part of this in the sausage making will be big urban areas, Mobile, Montgomery, Huntsville, Birmingham, fighting against rural areas in the state.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be the matchup for who gets what. And you just watch it. It's going to be interesting. All right, coming right back. At 8:51, FM Talk 106.5 at Mobile Mornings on this Get Back to Work Wednesday. It's also the day a lot of people are starting their New Year's resolution. And if yours is getting organized in your home, getting rid of junk, I got just the guy for you. My buddy Trey Bennett and the crew from 1-800-GOT-JUNK. What a way to get your organization for 2019 off on the right foot. That is to get out the junk so you have to organize less. It's pretty easy. Pick up the phone, dial 1-800-GOT-JUNK, go online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, set a specific appointment time, specific day, specific hour of the day. It's nice. It's not a spectrum of time. And they show up, they look at the junk, and they give you a price. If you agree on the price, that's the price you pay. Whether the job turns out to be bigger than they thought it was or not, that's it. So when you see that 1-800-GOT-JUNK truck riding around town, that's what they're doing, getting rid of junk in people's houses, in their businesses, up the creaky attic stair ladder stair thing with the springs. They do that. You got a storage building out back you want the stuff out of. Heck, you may want the whole storage building gone. They can do that as well. You have a swing set, a playhouse, and your youngest child's in graduate school. Maybe it's time to get it gone. 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Get that New Year's resolution started the right way with 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All right, 8:53, FM Talk 106.5. Talking gas tax. This texter said, the more we drive, the more revenue the state gets from the existing gas tax. If they raise it, I will buy mine in Mississippi. It's 10 cents per gallon cheaper, and I drive there once a week anyway. Well, you have that option, but I will say this. Gas tax as a percentage has been declining because we have more fuel-efficient vehicles. And yes, before somebody wants to ask, there's language in there to deal with electric vehicles as a once-a-year fee to make up for the wear and tear on the roads they do without paying a gas tax. So that's in there. They are discussing that. But vehicles are lighter, vehicles are more fuel efficient, so there are fewer gallons bought to go the same distance than there were in 92, the last time they raised the gas tax. So, I mean, to make sure you're having a fair discussion here, understand that there has been, as which we want, more fuel-efficient vehicles. That's fewer gallons purchased. That's fewer dollars coming into the revenue. So that's one of the arguments made. And I will say this. You've never heard me being a big fan of taxes, but a use tax at least makes some sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard somebody on the text line earlier was talking about state of Alabama and taxes on groceries and all that. It says gas taxes and grocery taxes are stealing from the poor to enrich the state. Now, the grocery tax thing, I've gone on and on and on about over the years on this radio station. I think it is the wrong way to have full freight sales tax on groceries. It absolutely hits poor people harder than anybody else. Those are the basic staples. But I would argue that there is a... The difference is there's X number of groceries and calories it takes for somebody to survive. There's people who drive more for that makes them – there's some reason they drive more. It makes mm-hmm. them money. There's something there. That use tax makes more sense than having a full freight sales tax on groceries. I don't – yes, it does it hit poor folks, yeah. Some taxes are going to hit everybody if you're in Alabama, but I don't think it's out of whack like the grocery sales tax is.
You mentioned it before in your conversations with Sonny Brasfield when we've talked about the gas tax previously, but with the future of electric cars, mm-hmm. ride sharing, mm-hmm. all the things that we you know is coming, but you can't necessarily – predict perfectly. Mm-hmm. How much do you think they should take that into account coming up once session begins? How much do you think they ought to just focus on, what's happening right now on the roads in Alabama?
The easiest thing politically is the smallest amount of money you have to raise it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's what's going to happen. That's always the easiest play, because when you don't want to take the political arrows to do something that makes the job easy for somebody in 10 years or 20 years. You should.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't, because it's not politically expedient. I mean, listen, I'm not. There's people going, we don't need to raise the gas tax. I paid too much already. I get that. But also, look at our roads. And I'll say this. Ben says, you haven't seen cruddy roads till you hit the back roads of Wilcox County. But I will say this. I think there's got to be some bar here. You can have a really bad road in Wilcox County. And I've driven them in a lot of other places, bad roads in the country. But they also don't have as many vehicles using them as a road that might not be as bad, but it gets a lot more traffic in a bigger urban area. So there's all these different competing reasons why one road might get funded before another.
And I think it's safe to, we can all agree that based on the type of living that you are able to support your family with is how closely you pay attention to the roads. Because if you're never on those roads,
right.
you just don't get it. Like, what is the issue? But if it's constantly causing wear and tear to your vehicle, which then impacts, your money that you're trying to save.
Yeah. And that's the pothole stuff, right, that does
correct.
The actual wear and tear. And then there's the mental wear and tear of the bigger roads that need to be expanded. Number one, for safety. Number two, to not have so much traffic congestion. So this is going to happen. We've been telling you for months and months and months about this to get you ready for March. When they go into session, it looks like this is a foregone conclusion. There will be a gas tax. Now, here's what is still in play. How much is that gas tax going to be? And who's going to get what? That's where you're going to see the real fisticuffs.
Mm.
It's going to see how much percentage stays at the place it was collected, mm-hmm. how much goes to the big kitty, the big pool in Montgomery, and what those percentages are. And you're going to get struggles and fights from people in rural areas saying, no, it should be apportioned by decision to all 67 counties. Mm-hmm. There's going to be Mobile counties and Baldwin counties and Jefferson and Shelby and Montgomery and Madison and Lyme-Center are going to say, no, wait a second. Y'all wouldn't have collected those gas taxes if there wouldn't have been people driving on our roads here. So we right. need to have some of that stay here. That will be the battle.
I just wish that when there's super cheap gas, like, when you see 99 cent or 101, let's just say, I wish that we had the special supplies to, put some gas away for an entire year.
But you remember what you do there is pretty much what dominated the theme of, which I guess that was every Mad Max movie. Yeah. It was based on who had the gasoline, and they had the tanker. Remember, they had the gasoline, and with that tanker, they could get out of the Badlands and get to the coast where they were trying to get, because that had enough gasoline to make it. But of course, the warlord didn't want to do it, and their little coyote kid.
Thank you for reminding me of this.
And the boomerang with the blades on it, and all that.
The Thunderdome.
So awesome.
Tina Turner.
Yeah, you take a... Well, you should see traffic congestion around Bartertown is horrible.
Right. All right. That's so good.
Mike Gallagher Show. If you've been gone for a couple weeks, brand new show. Laura Ingram's out of radio. Mike Gallagher is now part of our crew, and he starts in just about 7 minutes right here on FM Talk 106.5.